Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome to today's show. I am Minister Michael Gray, the Associate Minister at Second Baptist Church with Pastor Reverend James Johnson is my pastor. Oh, I greet you this morning in the marvelous name of Jesus. I was just reminiscing on the song, Give Me You. Oh, if we could just turn away from all the things that we're dealing with this morning and just tell the Lord we want him on this morning. This morning's scripture will be coming from Psalms chapter 30, verse 1 through 5. And the Bible reads, I will exalt thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of him, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And my title this morning, it's morning time. It's morning time. Somebody needs to know that it's morning time. whatever you dealt with yesterday, last night, all that is over. It's morning time. It's time to rejoice. It's time to thank God that he's kept you. Oh, it's time that we stop carrying things that are not permanent. We carry it over into the next day. But we have awakened to a new day, so we have a new day. Have you ever felt like just giving up? No matter what you did or no matter what you said, it didn't always turn out the way you had planned it. There's going to be times in our lives where we plan things and we have things set the way we want to do them. But not all the time are those plans or those things that we have set going to work in our favor. And then we feel like we have failed, so our immediate impact is to give up and not deal with it anymore. Have you ever just felt like throwing in the towel, saying, you know what, I quit. Can't do this thing anymore. This thing is overwhelming. This thing is mind-bending. This thing is causing me pain and affliction. Every time you turn around, something is broke, or you're late, or something wrong with something or someone in your life. This is the thing that we deal with. We deal with on a daily basis. There is no way we're going to be able to just step aside and let these things go. Some of these things we have to deal with. Have you ever laid in the bed all night long and your problems have gotten so bad that you don't know if you're going to make it through the night? You don't know if you're going to be here the next day when morning comes, because we have let these problems, these trials and these tribulations set something that was meant not to be permanent. We have let it become a permanent state. Now we begin to worry if we're going to make it. We've forgotten all about the God that we said. We have now turned our focus to the problem and not the problem solver. A lot of times we are overwhelmed because we don't turn our situations over to God. So they linger on from one day to the next. If this morning this is you, I want to talk to you about having unspeakable joy. The world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. And when I say that, Lord, help me, Lord, we are letting the world take it away from us. Why? Because claim to be saints of God, disciples of God, doers of his word, hearers of his word, but yet we let the outside influence our decisions. We let the outside speak to our minds. We let Satan enter in and tell us that we're going to fail, that we're not going to make it, and we believe it. I know that there's times that we are in, sometimes joy is hard to come by. Sometimes it's hard to be happy. Sometimes it's hard to smile. But we have to look at, and I say this all the time, if we would remember his promise. Every time you deal with a situation, if you would remember what he promised you, you would have joy. His promises said, I will leave you, nor forsake you. I will be with you. These are the things that he's spoken to his people, and his word is true. It will never come back void. But if you would look back over your life, No matter what's going on, no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark it is, maybe and realize what God has already done for us. If we would just not go back, pick a pig back, and see where we were. Here we go. So for now. And we would know, I've been going, be where we are now. When we talk about the goodness of the Lord, no matter what we're going through, no matter what doctor tells us, no matter what we don't have money for, no matter what we're dealing with, have unspeakable joy. Because whether we know it or not, God is, he's going to make a way for us. And he's making a way right now. Some of us find it hard to believe because we can't really see it. So if we can't lay eyes on it, believe it. We think that this is the end. But if we could just get through the day, get through the night, oh, somebody needs to know, in the morning, it's going to come again because we have a new day. Yes, Lord. We should have nothing to be sad about. We should be happy because he has lifted us out of some situations and out of some circumstances that we had no business being in. But we were there. We were a part of it. He didn't punish us for being there. He helped us out. He came to see about us. Sin can steal our joy because as we sin, it comes with consequence. We have to know that we're going to have to pay for the stuff that we do. Now, it might feel good doing it, but there is a consequence that we must pay for doing it. Do you have a reason to give God praise this morning? Do you have a reason to thank him this morning for waking you up, starting you on your way? Oh, I might have troubles, but the troubles don't have me. I might not be well, but I'm better than I was yesterday. We should be able to give God praise in the midst of any situation. We all know that storms come, but he promised to help us through it. Sometimes we're going to cry, and sometimes we're going to laugh. But the next day, he's given us new grace and mercy that we're able to rise and say, Lord, I thank you for being so good to me. Because you didn't have to. You didn't have to be here to see me through these tough parts of my life, but you are. So on this morning, I want to give you praise because you've been so good. The problem with people is that you've got praise. We can sit right there. God has done something good for us, but yet we don't give him praise. We go to church almost like it's orchestrated, like the pastor has to sit there and tell you, oh, I would give him praise. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has been good to you, doesn't matter who's sitting to the right of you, doesn't matter who's sitting to the left of you, doesn't matter who's sitting behind you, in front of you, you should be able to give God praise. But we have become so prideful that we sit there and we don't give him anything. Oh, God has delivered us over and over again. I want to know, do you have a praise this morning? Has he delivered you? What has he delivered you from? Has he delivered you from telling lies? Has he delivered you from alcohol? What has he delivered you from? The things that God has delivered you from, you don't go back to them. And you give them joy. You obtain joy by going around telling people that God has brought me through a situation. You're the death in a hospital. You've been sick at home. You had accident too close for comfort. Yet through it all, God delivered you out of the pits of the pain. We sit here with toy with the things that God has delivered us from, but we don't know that it could have been our lives. It could have been the other way around. But yet, we have no praise to offer him. Some things that we deal with come to destroy our lives. And if we don't, relationship, the companionship with the Lord, we're not going to make it, people. We're not going to make it. Some of us has forgotten where God brought us from. God will deliver us, and as soon as he does, we forget. We forget where we come out. We forget what he's done. We forget where we've been. We think we have arrived. We change our walks. First of all, we forget who God is. We have got tripped up on prosperity. Soon as someone talks about giving us money, we're going to be rich. That's the things we want to hear. We don't want to hear that God will save you. God will take you through your storm. We don't want to hear that. The pride of prosperity has caused us to zip up our lips. We've gotten so proud. We've gone crazy. Our money takes the place of our praise. Oh, I'm helping somebody this morning. The money that we have, we're now using it praise. Too many clothes in our closet cause us to cancel our hand clap. We started out with nothing. Now our closets are overflowing. But yet, so we go this place. We can dress up to go that place. But when we say something about entering the house of the Lord, the first thing we say is, Minister Gray, it is COVID season. I get that it's COVID season, but we find you out at the Walmart. We find you out at the food line. We find you out at the ball game. We find you everywhere in the house of the Lord. We have so much food in our cupboard. It satisfies our hunger and our thirst after righteousness. We don't seem to need anything anymore. We come, we open the cabinets, and we see we're stocked from head to toe. We got food running out this place and that place. But that we're talking about is the food that goes in your spirit. When we open up the Bible and we begin to feed our spirit, we have gotten away from that. Pick the Bible up on Sunday morning. Sunday evening, we place it back down, and by the time next Sunday comes, we have dust all over the cover because we haven't picked it up. So we're not feeding our spiritual body. We're feeding our physical body. So when things come and storms come and disappointment comes, we can't handle it. Why? Because it's just like a bank. If you have money in the bank and you keep going to the bank, and you keep drawing it out, and you're not putting anything back in, you have nothing to draw from. And a lot of us as Christians, we have nothing to draw from because we're not putting anything in. Remember when we were flat broke, didn't know where our next meal was coming from. Remember when we couldn't pay our bills, but God brought us through. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have money for your bills, but God gave you an extension? You don't know how they didn't cut the lights off. You don't know how they didn't repossess your car because God, he gave you an extension because you were connected to him. Remember when we didn't have two dimes to rub together? Remember when our banks, we were on our backs in the hospital and didn't even know if we were going to get well? The doctor walked in and he said, "Son, this is all I can do for you. There's nothing more." But soon as he walked out, Dr. Jesus walked in and he diagnosed you and he healed your body. Oh, this morning, add some joy. Yeah, weeping may endure, but joy is coming in the morning. Remember when we used to wear hand-me-down clothes? God brought us through all of that and more. And now you're wearing Louis Vuitton. You're wearing apple bottom jeans. You're wearing all these fancy clothes. How did you get it? Because God made a way for you. Oh, you should have some joy this morning. God has brought you through failed marriages, broken relationships, a broken childhood, terrible expenses, yet you sit down and don't give him no praise. We sit there like pew setters. We're looking around to see who's watching us, who's watching our praise. Well, when you go to church, it doesn't matter who watches your praise. It's how much you get up and give God praise. Some of us is giving up on ourselves. We're clutching our lives that you believe for way too long. Somebody told you that you weren't good enough. Years ago when you were growing up, they said you wouldn't make it. They said you weren't good enough. You weren't smart enough. They told you that you would never amount to nothing. But now look at you. You're up. You're doing the thing that God has told you to do. He's in control of your life this morning. Oh, and that's the reason to give God praise. Somebody don't look like what you've been through. And that's the reason to give God praise. These are the things that steal your joy. And God wants to deliver you from the pit of your heartache. So this morning, no matter what you're going through, don't forget to give him praise and to thank him. It's all right if you thank him in the morning for waking you up. It's all right if you thank him for traveling mercy. It's all right if you thank him for food on the table. It's all right if you thank him for the clothes on your back. Oh, somebody needs to thank him this morning. Have you ever been in despair and you said you can make it through the night? You may have doubts on Saturday night, but you will have assurance on Sunday morning. Oh, if I could just make it through and I hit the 12 a.m., I know at 12 a.m., 12:01 a.m., new day, on that new day, all the things that I went through on yesterday are gone. Now I have joy where I can start over again. Many of us are going through our night season right now. But God knows about them, and he truly cares. Your situation might seem dark right now, but you can hold on through the night. Your joy is coming in the morning. Satan may kick us down, but God will lift us up. Satan may destroy us, but God reminds us. Satan may try to ruin us, but God gives us hope. Satan may give us sorrow, but God will give us soul-saving joy. Even in the midst of darkness, joy comes in the morning. Hold on to the promise of joy, promises of God. Joy is coming. If we would just stay connected and stop being disconnected, our joy is coming. Or somebody needs to understand that the trouble that you were dealing with yesterday, the trouble you were dealing with last year, the trouble you were dealing with last month is not a permanent fix. Your joy, my joy, is coming in the morning. The things that we deal with are only permanent when we make it permanent. If we would just turn it over to the Master and let him lead and guide us. See, a lot of times we had problems with submitting to his will and his way. We have good lip service. Oh, Mr. Greg, what do you mean? It all sounds good when it comes out of our mouth, but when the action comes, we can't seem to grasp the whole of the action part. We begin to let it go. We begin to trust in our things except for the Lord. But this morning he said that he's going to bring you through whatever you dealt with last night. Time to put it aside. This is a new day. This morning time. When you have joy and you turn your situation over to the Lord, some things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. Some of the things that used to get you down, used to try to keep you down, you would worry what people thought of you. You would worry what people think of you. These things, soon as you learn that these things don't affect you the same way they used to anymore, a better person you're going to be. People can't always help you obtain the joy that you need. But when you delight yourself in the Word of God, you will receive assurance that everything is going to be all right. As long as you can keep your eyes on the Lord, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you deal with, everything is going to be all right. Somebody needs to say that to themselves this morning, that I'm going through, but I know that everything is going to be all right. When you realize that joy comes, the Lord will find ourselves living a better life. In other words, the world didn't give us joy, and the world can't take it away. Oh, somebody this morning needs to realize that the world hasn't given you anything, so the world can't take anything away from you. The joy that you have comes from the Lord. And if you are to make it through, we have to know and believe that whatever we're dealing with, it's not a permanent fixture that we're going to make it if we keep depending on the Lord. Somebody needs to understand this morning that joy is here this morning. If you would just lift your hands and begin to thank the Lord and tell him, Lord, I thank you this morning for my joy. I thank you that I'm now no more, but I am trouble-free this morning. I've given it all to you. My joy and your joy is only comes from the Lord. I don't care what people say. If we trust in the Lord, if we give God our problems, we're going to make it through. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Pray the plan of salvation.
Amen. 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 Let's follow. Right now we come to you, Lord, asking you, oh, Lord, to save somebody, Lord. Father, we're not going to take for granted that everybody's saved. We ask right now, Lord, that you would come into their hearts this morning, God. Oh, God, that you would deal with them, Lord. That you would save us, Lord, in the midst of our trials and our tribulations, God. Oh, Father, we offer you nothing but glory and honor this morning, for you are a good God. Oh, God, let your word go out, God, among nations, Lord, that somebody might come this morning asking, what must I do to be saved? Because, Father, we do love you. We do adore you. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Minister Gray. Truly, we appreciate that word that you've said for us today. May you be blessed and enjoy. That song by Shanna Wilson is called Give Me You. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We want to thank you for listening to us Monday through Fridays. You can hear us on this radio station. Please tell your friends, your neighbors, tell everyone to tune in from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Monday through Fridays. Again, that's from 7 to 8 p.m. Please call 319-527-6036. Again, that's 319-527-6036, Monday through Fridays. And you can hear us on Sunday mornings from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock. Again, that's 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock. We thank you for tuning in with us on this radio station, and we have some awesome speakers. As you heard this morning, we had Minister Michael Gray. Again, that was Minister Michael Gray. And we are going to listen to a tape that was done this Thursday by Apostle Alexander Lockamy. Again, that's Apostle Alexander Lockamy. He's with us on Thursday evening, and truly the word was so awesome that we would like to share it with you this morning. God bless you as you get up and go to your house of worship, as you get up and just enjoy the praises and worship of God, and just be grateful that you are in the land of the living. We've been through so much over the last couple of years with COVID, but we thank God that we're able to breathe his fresh air, and that all of this plague is subsiding, and that we can fellowship one with another. God bless you again, and let us listen to Apostle Lockamy. Amen.
I've had some hills to climb. But when I look around and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Over my way, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain.
bless you. God bless you. We have just heard from Reverend Paul Jones that I won't complain. Good God Almighty. Well, it's that time of the week. Yes, we have none other than a man of wisdom himself, the one that God is using to rightly divide the word of truth and take us behind the veil so that we can get an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to guide us and to teach us and to give us all knowledge into spiritual truth. And none other than the man himself, God's servant and the anointed apostle, Apostle Alexander Lockerbie. Hello, sir. Are you with us?
I am.
How's everything today?
Wonderful. Beautiful day. Beautiful sunshine. Right, breezy, but it's wonderful. I wish I had a knife I could cut a piece of it out and save. Put it in a picture frame.
I agree with you. I wish I could save some of it, too. It is so beautiful. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's just right. The skies are beautiful and clear. I tell you, we are so blessed. Well, I'm going to move out the way so God can use you. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
Okay. God bless you.
Good evening to our radio fans. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to come to you this afternoon in the name of Jesus to be able to declare the word of God. Many years ago, before I went into the ministry, some month or so before I went into the ministry, I've been in it now going on over 40-some years, and God gave me a dream, and in this dream, there was a mountain, a big old tall mountain, and it was pitch black. It was dark. It was night. It was like in the midnight hour. It was so dark you could not even see. And I was crawling up the mountain, and it was lightning. And every time God would speak, it was lightning and thunder. And because I had asked the Lord, you know, I needed proof. You know, I wanted to know that God had called me to preach and not some feeling. You know, no intuition, not something that I thought what God said and God didn't say. Because the Bible says, know your calling and your election is sure. So I wanted to make sure that God called me and not be misled by some feeling that I had just because I wanted to do it. But somebody else says, I look like a preacher, or I can preach like a preacher, or I act like a preacher. But I wanted God's seal. So he gave me that dream to seal that he did call me before I preached my trial sermon. And it lightened in the thunder, and as it lightened in thunder, I saw people all around the mountain. It looked like there was hundreds of people, thousands of people. It was all up and down the mountain, some low, some middle, some near the top. But the problem was they couldn't get to the top of the mountain. But every time it was thunder lightning, I would climb higher and higher and higher. Finally, I made it to the top of the mountain, and I got up on the top of the mountain, and I could see clearly after I got to the top of the mountain. Because when I got on the top of the mountain, it was a platform, man. It was an altar. And on that altar was a Bible. And that Bible was open. And God spoke to me, even he spoke to the man of God in the Bible. God told me to read it from Genesis to Revelation. He told me to eat the whole book. And he told me that he wants me to take that book. I asked God, I said, God, who are these people that are trying to climb up the mountain? Why they could not make it? He said, that's why I called you up, that I might anoint you to help them make it up the mountain. So God called me, and he anointed me that I might be able to preach the gospel. And God said, these are my people. He said, they want me. They're trying to get here, but they're having a problem getting here. And I called you to help them. So it's a blessing to be able to be called by God to help somebody. We have been called, got a job on our hands. Our job is to make sure that we preach salvation and preach it to the fullest, preach it the way the Bible said it is, and not the way that we heard. Because God got people out there, and I would say the weaker vessel. God got people out there that love the Lord, and they want to come to God, and they're trying to get to God, but they got hindrance. They got things in their lives. They got hang-ups in their lives, and you preaching on their hang-up. You preaching on their habit. God never told us to preach on nobody's hang-up and preach on nobody's habit. All you got to do is give them the word of God. Let them know that Jesus saves and sanctifies. Holy Ghost, fill and thou baptized. You give them Jesus and let God. We want to scale the fish after we catch the fish, and that ain't our job. It is not our job to scale nobody. It's God's job to sanctification. Sanctification belongs to God. We Anytime you start trying to sanctify somebody, you already done got out. You out of your lane now. You messing with God now. That's God's responsibility. All he told you to do is preach the gospel. All he told you to do is deliver the word. And now you to deliver the word, the Bible said the word will not go out and come at void, but it will accomplish what he sent it out to do. So what we try to do, we try to catch them and scale them and clean them and all that stuff. And we'll mess around and lose the fish. But do your part and just preach salvation. So we're going to talk about true salvation tonight. I'm talking about true salvation. I ain't talking about something somebody heard. I ain't talking about grandma's salvation and grandpa's salvation. I ain't talking about no voodoo salvation. I ain't talking about Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, with the Sacred Heart salvation. I ain't talking about no Muhammad salvation. I'm talking about, I ain't no talking about no Catholic salvation, no deacon, or no demonic salvation, but this salvation is true from God. We got all kind of teaching going on now. Everybody's trying to save people with their religion, save some people from what they feel like. But except it's the word of God, it will not save nobody. Not no Baptist, not no Catholic, not no Seventh-day Adventist, not no Eastern Star, not no Mormon, the Latter-day Saint. This is not what saved people. For the Bible says it's salvation through Christ Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is salvation through God, through his Son, Christ Jesus. Do you hear me again? God saves through his Son, Christ Jesus, he gives you everlasting life. He said, whosoever, that means God ain't going to make you get Jesus. He's not going to make you accept Jesus. That choice is up to you. You can get Jesus and be saved, or you can not get Jesus and be lost. That choice is up to you. He said, whosoever to believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Perish means die and go to hell. Perish means to be lost in your soul, spend eternity and judgment, burning in a lake of fire. That's what perish means. Or you can have everlasting life and live in heaven with God. You can be in heaven with God forever. Never, never, never to come back to earth no more. Now, that I would think that a wise man would pick the first instead of pick the last instead of the first. I think a wise man would rather want to live forever and live eternal life than to perish in the lake of fire. And when you get in that fire, when you get in that fire, there ain't no way out. You're going to be there forever and forever and forever. The scripture said that not only will you be burning in the lake of fire, you'll be gritting your teeth with, you imagine stepping on a nail. You imagine putting your hand on a hot eye on the stove and it's still hot. And I mean, it is high heat. And you got your hand. It's no comparison to the pain that will be burning in the body if you end up in hell. The Bible says skin worms will be crawling all out of your eyes and out of your mouth. They're going to be torturing you all. Could you imagine skin worms crawling all out of your mouth and everywhere else in your body? Worms are crawling out and you burning and brimstone and fire. Rocks that are so hot that they melt like butter. You imagine see the lava coming out of a volcano. It ain't got nothing compared to this right here. And your soul is there forever. I'm trying to help somebody this evening. But your soul is there forever and ever, never to escape. Ain't going to be nobody print. Listen, you better quit believing these lies if they're telling you that it's not true. They got some kind of religion, and I won't have to call no names. They got certain religions saying that you got another arms in. If you got another arms in that repentance in, that you could be forgiven even in the grave. But let me see if you know this. If you don't die with Jesus Christ in your life, you ain't going to listen. If you didn't die with Jesus, you ain't going to get up with Jesus. If you didn't die with being born again, how you going to die lost and get up saved? You ain't going to do it. Ain't nobody going to be able to pray no repentance. Ain't you got no arm. Listen, how do you know, Pastor? Because Jesus tells the story about the rich man. Listen, that rich man didn't make it because he won't pay, and you ain't going to make it either if you're not saved. The Bible says he opened his eyes up in hell. He didn't say nothing about nobody. Gave no arms, gave no pennant for him, and got him out. He was lost forever. The Bible said he would ask the Lord, let somebody go back and talk to his brother, because he knew he was doomed. So if you die lost, there is no hope. There ain't no hope. Please don't let nobody trick you. There ain't no hope. Do not die without Jesus. Do not die without salvation. Do not die without being born again. Because if you do, you're going to be lost. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now listen, not only did Jesus tell us that he would save us, but we must pray to God in the name of Jesus. See, we got it all mixed up. Our prayers aren't getting answered because we wonder why. So we praying to Jesus. You're not supposed to pray to Jesus. You're supposed to pray to God. Jesus never said in the word for us to pray to him. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I do. Now, people forgetting all about God, and they're praying to Jesus. I got this written in the New Testament. I just pray to Jesus, and Jesus do this, and Jesus do that. And you ain't even getting your prayer answered. You can't override the word of God. You can't do it your way to expect God to hear your prayers. Jesus said, even Jesus humbled himself when they tried to worship him. Jesus told him, listen, why call me good? Ain't none good but the Father. And Jesus said, when you ask the Father, ask him in my name. You hear what I'm saying? God gave Jesus the power and attorney. You hear what I'm saying? Now, God is still God. He's still sitting on the throne. He made that claim. Paul made that claim that Jesus has authority over everything but the throne. Now, do you hear me? He has power over everything but the throne. And he's going to keep that power until that day he sits to that day that he takes control of the world when he wraps to the church. And then he's going to give that power back to God. But until then, he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father now as our high shepherd, making intercession for us. And when you pray to God, you pray in the name of Jesus, because he's our access. He's the access number in order to get your prayer answered. When you pray in the name of Jesus, then God will answer your prayer because you have done it according to his word. Hear me again. When you pray, don't pray to God and keep on and get up off your knees and go about your business thinking your prayer is going to be answered. And you just lock it in and seal it in the name of Jesus. You got to say, in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're asking for healing, you're asking for a breakthrough, you're asking for deliverance, you're asking about your marriage, you're asking about your children, you're asking about your health, you're asking about your finance. It doesn't matter what you're asking for. When you get through praying, say, in Jesus' name, I ask you this. And God will honor your prayer. Isn't that all right? I'm just trying to straighten up some matter here. You don't pray to no Buddha. You don't pray to Mary, Mother of Jesus. Listen, y'all. The Mother of Mary of Jesus was no more than what we are today. She was just an instrument that God used to bring Jesus into the world. Yes, she's special. Her name is special. But her name is not to be worshipped. Her name not to be hung on your neck with no heart. And you worship her as though she's some God. She has no power. None at all. She ain't got no more power than the apostle got. She ain't got no more power than Peter got and John the Baptist got. She ain't got no more power than Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, because she's just an instrument that God used to bring Jesus unto the world, and that's it. So while you're worshiping her and thinking that you're going to get your prayers answered because you're praying to her, you ain't supposed to be praying to her because she's not a God. As I told you, she's just an instrument that God used. And you're like, oh, I'm going to mess up somebody believing that. But I got to tell the truth. I'm trying to help somebody so you won't mess around and be standing for God lost because you thought Mary saved you. You thought Mary answered your prayer. You thought that you got your prayer answered because you called on the name of Mary, Jesus' mother. Understand she's special. Understand she's an important person, but all she was an instrument, a channel that God used to bring Jesus into the world. I'm going to leave that alone, go a little bit further here. Acts 16 and 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved, and thy house. Yes, now we're back to Jesus. Now you can believe on him. Understand, because you can't pray in his name if you first believe in him. Believe on him, and God will say, husband, wife, mama, dad, you want your children saved? You get saved. You go out here trying to get with your children, drop them off at Sunday school, and you're going to go to the club, or drop them off at Sunday school, and you're going to go to the juke joint. drop them off at the school at Sunday school. You gonna go to the little house. You need to get in that. You need to go to Sunday school. And you need to get out of that car and go into Sunday school too with your children. The Bible says train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart. Now, how you that training means by example. It does not mean by, I encourage you to tell us a long time ago, you do what I tell you to do, but don't do like I do. Well, did they not know that what they did affect them? What you do is, listen, parents, what you do is the eyes of your children. Your eyes see what, that your children see what you do, and you become their eyes, because they're going to be shaped and shaped and shifted about who you are. And you can say all you want to, preaching them the gospel and taking them to church and dropping them off at Sunday school, and you get at home and cuss and fight for one another and got the refrigerator full of beer, wine, liquor, and everything else. And you tell them not to drink no beer, not to drink no wine, not to smoke no cigarettes, don't smoke no devil. You on the back porch smoking all the marijuana you can smoke, and you trying to be an example. To be an example is to do what the Word says. If you want them to live right, if you want them to walk like Christ, then you walk like Christ. You be an example. I never heard my mother curse. Not one day have I ever heard my mama curse. My mama told us one day, if you don't hear me cursing, don't you be cursing. I had a wonderful mama, a beautiful mama, and she set examples. When my dad died, I was about 14 years old. My mama had 10 children to raise. And you know what? My mama didn't let no men come running in the house there. And the help of time was hard back then. And my mama had no money. My mama had no money. Then when my mama went to social service, but in order to get some help in social service, you know, having 10 children and that your dad having social security, that she would get a right nice check for 10 children. But she got down there to social service, and they went into the computer looking for my dad's social security, and come to find out that the man took the social security money out, but he didn't turn it in. See, my mom, he had not got to raise 10 children. My mama said, the man took the money out of his check. I know he did. And she said, ma'am, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm not saying he didn't, but he did send it down here. So now here and my mom can get no social security. She got to struggle in the field. And I seen tears in her eyes, and I seen her struggling. But my mama didn't open up no door and let no man come in the house in order to satisfy her needs. My mama stayed sane. My mama kept her faith. My mama was a virtuous woman. My mama let God, and my mama was a praying woman. And as she prayed, God met her needs. It was so bad, I took family members and asked my mama, why don't you divide the children up and get them away? And we'll send you to college, and you'll get a degree. But my mama loved us so much. Now, I was a sick one. I was born sick. I was born with a bad, a low immune system. And mama kept me at the hospital. She kept taking me to the hospital. The doctor told her one day, there's no need of bringing him back. There ain't nothing we could do about it. I kept a cold 24 hours a day. I was stopped up like I had pneumonia, like I had a flu, like I had bronchitis. I could not breathe. I was tortured at night. I suffered at night. I struggled to breathe. Every breath I took to breathe. So that's why I'm so thankful now. That's why I'm so grateful now that I can breathe. I struggled every moment just to get my breath because I could not breathe. Because my lungs and my everything was stopped up with flaming and cold and flu because my immune system was so low. But my mama didn't give me away. She wouldn't. She could have bided us up. She could have went to college. She could have had a living and let somebody put us in a foster home. But she loved God and she loved us so much that she didn't give us away. And she told them, no, that's okay. I'm going to raise my children. I thank God for a God-fearing mother, a mama that was saved, a mama that knows Jesus. Honey, when you know Jesus, it makes all the difference. Mama, when you know Jesus, your children will get to know Jesus. Daddy, when you know Jesus, sooner or later, your son will get to know Jesus. But how can he know Jesus if Jesus don't first start in you? So I want to get this thing straightened up about salvation. If you might know that salvation only comes through Christ Jesus. So he said, no, it comes any other way. If you get saved any other way, with all these different names that folks call themselves getting saved under, if you get saved of any other way than in the name of Jesus, he said you're like a thief and a robber. It's like you coming up on the backside. You're coming up the wrong way. You're coming through the wrong door. For there is no salvation in no other but Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now listen, this salvation does not only save us, but this salvation sanctifies us. This salvation cleanses us. And this salvation consecrates us. Look what the writer said. He said, but according to his own purpose, he said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And people talking about they've been saved and they've been born again and still doing the same thing they were doing 10 years ago. When Jesus called you, baby, with salvation, he called you with a holy calling. You are holy now. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You have been given a new nature. You're not like that hog that, washed him real good and put a suit on him, and then he went back to the mud. So the hog didn't know no better because that was the nature of the hog, to go back to the mud. I don't fault the hog. I fault them for not knowing no better, and the hog didn't know no better. The hog did what he only knew, and that was a crate in the mud. They changed the hog. They gave him a new suit, but it didn't change his nature. If your nature don't change, you ain't saved. If you've been in the hog and you say you've been born again and your nature has not changed, then you is not saved. Your nature must change. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because when you before you get saved, you got the nature of Adam. Adam sitting in the garden. And when Adam sitting in the garden, a demonic nature came to him. See, that tree had evil in it. The Bible said it was a tree of knowledge and good and evil. But see, Adam and Eve didn't realize what they did. They couldn't see it. They didn't see it happen, but it happened. It's just like the wind outside. If the blowing wind is blowing outside, there's a wind today and you got the door closed, you can't see the wind. You can't see the wind. But if you open up the door, you still can't see the wind, but the wind gonna blow all the paper off the dresser and all the table and wherever you got paper is, 60 miles out of wind, gonna blow stuff around in the house. You can't see the wind, but the wind is still the wind. And just like the wind, spirits are, they are invisible. And when Adam and Eve took up that tree, when Eve took up and gave it to Adam, they unlocked wickedness. They unlocked evil. Remember now, the scripture said it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Whenever they unlocked, when they get that fruit, that forbidden fruit, they unlock demonic forces. They unlock the adultery. They unlock the fornication. They unlock the lasciviousness. They unlock the sexual immorality. They unlock the lust. They unlock the murder. And I could keep going on. They unlock all these demonic forces that was not unlocked. They were locked up inside the tree. But when they disobeyed God, and they unlocked these spirits. These spirits went out in all the world. They got into men. They got into women. They got into them in such a way as that God said that I hate our name, man. God said it grieved me. It hate our name, man. That's what happens when you sin. Spirit goes out. Oh, somebody ought to listen to me. When you sin, spirit goes out. It goes out. You open up a door when you sin, and spirit goes out. And it get in others, and it get in you. They get in your life circumstance. They get in your health. They get in your lifestyle. They get in your children. These spirits that goes out. Salvation comes to give you a new nature, a new spirit. Old things pass away. The whole old thing become new. Listen. It causes you to stop cussing. It causes you to stop obeying the lusts of the flesh. It gives you a new mindset. It gives you a new, it gives you power beyond your wildest dreams. It takes away your desire to sin. For 1 John said, we don't sin no more. It didn't say we don't make no mistakes no more. What he means, a lifestyle. If you still live in a lifestyle of sin and you say you've been born again, you need to go back and get saved again. If you still live in that same lifestyle you were living before you got saved, you need to go back, and this time you need to get saved in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Jenny or Jerry or Jericho. You need to get saved in the name of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. He the one saved me. He the one saved you. You need to get saved in the name of Jesus. And when you call on the name of Jesus, he'll save you, and he will give you a new nature. He'll take away that Adamic nature, and he'll give you that Christ-like nature, the old thing to pass away. And behold, you become new. This salvation that God gives helps you to live right. See, the law says not to commit adultery. The law says not to commit fornication. The law says don't curse. The law says not lie. But listen to this. The law said that, and then when you did it, it condemned you and killed you. That's what the law did. So there was no power in the law. It told you not to do something and did not help you not to do it. Hear me? The law told you not to do it, didn't help you not to do it, and then turn around and punish you when you did it. That's what the law did. That's why God had to do away with the law. Because the law had no power in itself to make you live right. Just like a stop sign at the end of the highway. A stop sign ain't got no power to make you stop. If the law had power, it's the law, it ain't the stop sign you stop for. It was the law behind that stop sign saying if you don't stop, you're going to go to jail and might lose your license. That's why you stop. You didn't stop because the stop sign said STOP and hit the red. You stopped because there was a law behind that stop sign. So it is. The law said don't do it. And if you way out in the country, you way out of 20 miles, 30 miles, ain't no city, ain't no houses nowhere, ain't no police nowhere, you have a right not to stop. But you're wrong. You may not stop, but you still go to stop. Because the stop sign said the same thing 50 miles in the country, instead in the city, it says stop, and there's a law behind it that says you should stop for the safety of others. That's why you're stopping. You're stopping for the safety of others. But listen, look what grace did. Now, God saw what the law could not do. I like this scripture. But it said God saw what the law could not do. And in that, he gave his son, Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. For what the law could not do, in Christ Jesus, he did do. So let's talk about what he did do, Apostle. The law said not to do it, didn't help you do it, and condemned you when you did it. What grace said not to do it, I help you to do it. You hear me? The grace said not to do it. Then grace said, I help you not to do it. Then I help you to do it. Grace said not to do it. Then he said, I help you not to do wrong. And then he turned around and said, I help you do right. The law didn't do that. The law had no help at all. But grace is not only going to help you and tell you not what to do, but grace is going to turn around and help you to do what God says and not do the wrong thing. Thank God for grace. That's what grace does. Grace makes a difference. So grace does what the law could not do. Only the thing the law could do was condemn. But what grace comes to do is deliver. It comes to give you the power and the ability to walk according to the word of God. Not only did God tell you not to do these things, but he said, I will help you not commit adultery. I help you not commit fornication. I help you not to curse. I help you not to lie. I help you not to fill your life with lasciviousness and alcohol and drugs. I will help you. All you got to do is call on my name. Call on my name in the name of my son Jesus. Call on me. Help me, God. Help me not to commit adultery. Help me not to lie. Help me not to steal in the name of Jesus. Oh, my, it's getting good now. Psalm 62:1. To the chief musician, to Judah, a son of David, truly my soul waited upon God. From him cometh my salvation. How many know that I said salvation, not only it does not only come to save you, it comes to meet your needs. It comes to help you. It comes to bring you out of your struggle. It comes to help you in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your circumstances. David said, come at my salvation. It will deliver you. It will set you free. It'll pick you up from a bowed down state. Oh, yes, it will. It will take the solve the problems that is in your life. It will set things in order. That's what salvation does. Now think about the Salvation Army. What is their job? When you get burned out, you need clothes, you need food, what do? They come to your rescue to help you in the natural. But this salvation, it comes to help you in the spiritual. Just like salvation, the Salvation Army come to meet your need naturally, help you get in a home, put you up in the motel, give you food to eat, give you a voucher, whatever the thing, they give you to help you out a little while you're trying to get back on your feet, and helping you in a motel place to stay until you can get the insurance and pay your home off so you can remodel or whatever. The Salvation Army helps you in the natural. So does salvation in the spiritual. If salvation in the natural helps you, how much more does salvation in the spirit? Salvation helps you. Salvation is to help. It comes to help you. It comes to make your life better, not bitter, but better. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't be saved, that you can't be born again. Now, remember I said, this saved not only just to be saved and be born again and be saved, but it keeps saving you. It saves you from the bad life you done got yourself into. It saves you from the mess you got into. See, I had got into a mess before I got saved. I was in prison, facing 100 years in prison. I had got into a mess. The judge, when he could have turned me loose, God didn't allow him to turn me loose because God wanted to get my attention. And the judge gave me a sentence that somebody said he ain't never heard it before. The judge gave me a 1 day to 3 year sentence. 1 day, what you mean 1 day to 3 years, Apostle? I can get out after 1 day, or I can stay in there 3 years, all depending on my character, my action, my behavior. I can cut up and act crazy and end up staying in there 3 years, or I can get out 1 day. But I end up staying in there 14 months after that 1 day because God wanted to get my attention. God just wanted to get my attention. You hear what I'm saying? And my life was messed up. So with salvation, I had nothing. I didn't have nothing. You hear what I say? I didn't even have a name. You hear me? In prison, they don't even call you a name. You don't even have a name in prison. You're a number. They call you a number. When they wake you up at night and wake you up in the morning for breakfast, they call you a number, not a name. I had lost everything I had. I had lost my reputation. I had lost my family. I had lost my friends. Huh? And that was in 1977. I got saved in 1979. To come out of that prison in 1979. And since salvation came in my life, God saved me that day in 1979 with nothing, not a penny in my pocket. I was broke. He saved me broke. Huh? God saved me right there in that prison. And that salvation not only saved my soul, but it began to save my life. He brought me out of there, and it wasn't long after I got out in 1981. God, I was saved in 1981. He gave me a beautiful wife. Yes, he did. And I've been married to now over 42 years. I just come out of prison. This woman married a man come out of prison, a man that won't nothing, didn't have nothing. I didn't even have money to pay for the wedding. Didn't even have money to buy her a ring. But salvation did this. She married me and loved me and believed in me, even though others cast me down and looked it over me and disrespected me and looked at my mistakes. Rather than looking at the salvation that was in my life. Then it did in 82. He called me into the ministry. On July the 4th, in 1982, he called me to the ministry. Since then, he has blessed me greatly. He called me to teach. He called me to prophesy. He called me to evangelize. And I evangelize in and out of the state, in and out of the country, pastors and churches here and there. 19 years in one church. And here I am now here going on 18 years in the church that I founded, the Burning Bush Church. But I want you to know God has truly blessed me. He has blessed me abundantly. He has blessed me with 22 grandchildren, 4 beautiful children, 3 girls and a boy. God took me from nothing. Did you see what salvation will do? Took me from nothing. The devil said I won't be nothing. You know that song they got out now? They said you won't be nothing. You won't go amount to anything. That's what they said. I won't be nothing. I won't be amount to anything. They accused me of being like my uncle. I had an uncle that stayed in prison all the time in jail. They said, you're going to be just like your uncle. You ain't going to be no good. All you're going to do is spend the rest of your life in prison. But salvation made that a lie. I want you to know that salvation will change things. All you got to do is get God in your life. Don't worry about what people say. Don't look at what people say. Don't let people dictate your life. That's what they said about me. That is what God did. And God took me out of prison and gave me his best. He put me in a phenomenal church. It was one of the mother churches of the conference that we were in. And what, not only did he put me there, it was a mother church. It was a church that no young man had never pastored before because they would never allow a young man to pastor. It was almost elderly men, but God put me there in spite of what they want. Honey, salvation will make all the difference. Salvation will put you places that you never thought you would go. Salvation will create in you things you never thought would be created. Salvation will do for you what a salvation army cannot do. So the salvation army is limited. It can only help you for just a little while. Huh? But this salvation will keep on helping you over and over again. Corinthians 6:9-10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revivals, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now I come to help somebody who has been badly misled. Excuse me, I thank you, God, salvation. And thank you, Savior. You still fornicating just as hard as you can. You still commit, you still a idolater. You worship an idol, and you've been doing it. You've been doing it for a long time and call yourself being saved. You can't serve an idol. You can't walk in salvation and serve an idol, too. An idol, something that you make in your God. That's called an idolater. Then you got the adulterer, one who's just running around everybody else's husband, everybody else's wife, and call yourself being born again. No, sweetheart, you need to check your salvation. Nor effeminate. Other words, two men loving two men and two women loving two women, and you say you say you've been born again. I don't mean to disturb your belief, but you need to go back to the altar again. If you go and ask God to help you to turn that man loose and turn that woman loose. It is a sin. It is an abomination for it to be effeminate. It is an abomination for two men to love one another and two women to love another. It's a sin. Some people, you know, you ask them, is it a sin? And they get going to well, this, and according to their rights, and they say, listen, let me say this as bluntly as I can say it. It is a sin. It is abomination. It is wrong for two men to love one another and marry one another and two women to love one another and marry one another. Now, listen to this. If God allowed two men and women now to call the president and the governor and the judicial system and the legislator and the Congress passes that they can get married, and God allowed that to be, and God got to go all the way back to Solomon and Gomorrah, and he got to give all those people he killed that day and say he was sorry that he killed them and apologized to them. And how many know that God ain't going to do that? Because God ain't no lying God. God said it will be in the last days as it was in the days of Solomon and Gomorrah. Men to be loving men, women going to be loving women, giving into a natural affection, burning in the flesh one to another, man loving a man and a woman loving a woman, and it is abomination. It is wrong. And you cannot be saved and walk in these traits. A bruiser. You call yourself saved and bruising your wife and bruising your husband and bruising your children. You just mean. You just devilish. Choking her and beating her down and breaking her arm and hurting her. And you get crippling her. Because you were mean and abusive. You ain't no salvation in you. You need to get saved. A bruiser of themselves and with mankind. You hear me? You can't be saved and carry these traits. A thief, stealing all the time. Covetous. Always want something alone to somebody else. Somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife. Salvation will change you from this. You can't say you say. You can't say you've been born again and you're walking in these veins. A drunkard. Oh, my God, salvation come to deliver you. Drinking more liquor than making it in the store and claiming yourself to be born again. A reviler, calling almost trouble. Disturbing, calling confusing. Stirring up stuff. Breaking up quiet. Breaking up the church. And extorting there. Uh-huh. All in the people's business. All in the welfare of the church. In trouble. There ain't no people calling you. You're calling it extortion, calling destruction. And what the writer said, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot have salvation. You're not going to heaven. Huh? You're not going to get the Holy Ghost that way. Because the Bible said, they said, Lord, when will the kingdom come? He said, he's already here. When Jesus Christ came, he brought the kingdom with him. Do you hear me? Romans 10:10. Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. Romans 10:10. But with the heart, man, believers the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got the first, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, and that he was raised from the dead, that he was born by the Virgin Mary, suffered on a Pontius Pilate, crucified and dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead and put a victory over the grave, death, and hell, and he gone back to the Father. And sitting on the right-hand side of God. God said, you believe that in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. and your confession will bring salvation in your life. Your confession will bring a change in you. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You can't say you saved and still live the same way. Still cussing and lying and cheating and going to the club and trying to run around with everybody, husband and wife, trying to live ungodly, doing all kinds of ungodly things in the bedroom and in the dark. No, no, no. This salvation teaches us to live holy. Oh, Babashe. Itamaha. This salvation teaches us to live holy. Denying ungodliness. When salvation comes, you'll start denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Because you know the world is full of all kinds of lusts. This salvation makes you deny this. You don't even want to do it because your nature not the same no more. If that hog can have a different nature, that hog would have appreciated that suit and he went to church that Sunday. And he wouldn't went back to the mud because his nature been changed. When your nature changed, you changed. When God changed your nature, you don't walk around in the colleges no more. You don't walk around in worldly lust no more. It teaches us to live soberly, not drunk. Soberly, godly in this present world. Because when you live sober and godly and walk above these things that I mentioned, then people will see your life and they'll come running after what must I do to save? Because they want the hope that you got. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man to come to seek and to save, that we're like, oh, Jesus came. Listen, Jesus came to save the law. He didn't come to save the saved. That's why we can't get nobody saved. So we always hang around the church with saved folks. We always have a service with saved folks. We always have a seminar with saved folks. We always have a revival with saved folks. Saved folks don't need to be saved. Saved folks need to get out of the church so the unsaved can come there and get saved. The reason is unsaved can't get saved, but we sit there and they see. The church was not made for saints. The church was made for sinners. So we need to get up so the sinners could come in that seat and get that seat that they're going to be sitting in and be saved. Jesus said, I came not for the law, but for the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance. Now, if Jesus came to bring sinners to repentance, I think that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be going out of the highways, byways, and hedges and preaching to them that they might be saved. Don't be looking at them all funny. Turning our nose all up there, making them feel bad. We need to be witnesses to them. Let them know that Jesus saved you in your hellishness, in your mess, in your messed up life. It's the same Jesus that saved them. God ain't got no respect for persons. You were messed up when God saved you. Ask Paul about it. Paul said he was the chief among sinners, but God saved him, and it is what it is. And it is what it is with you, too. God had to save you. You were messed up. But, oh, God's sake, you didn't save you? So give somebody else a chance. Quit judging people. Saying God save you? God can't save her because she's a mess. You was a mess, too. You just didn't know it. Titus, Luke 19, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and his some men can't flatten it, but is long-suffering toward upward, not willing that any should. But all to come to repentance. Now, this verse here, I want to talk with emphasis. I want it with clarity. This verse is saying, don't you be deceived because God ain't punished you, because God ain't done nothing about this sinful life you're living, because God ain't judged you in the mess you've been walking in. Prophecy said this, and the pastor said this, and your mama said this, everyone said this, and ain't nothing happened to you. But you think because it ain't happened. Listen, baby, God slapped this in his mercy. It said the Lord is not slack concerning him, for God ain't no lying God. If God said it, you're going to be repentant. And listen, if God said that if you die, your sin, your soul will be lost, your soul is going to be lost. If God said if you don't make Jesus the Lord and say in your life, you're going to be lost, you is going to be lost. God is not slack concerning his promise. Whatever God promised you, he ain't slack. He's just patient. He's long-suffering. He said he don't suffer towards us, but that means everybody. God don't want nobody lost. God don't want nobody lost. He don't suffer towards us, not willing that any should perish. Listen, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone on the side of my voice that is saved and ain't saved. God wants you saved. God does not want you to go to hell. God did not want you to perish. God did not want you to be lost. God did not make hell for you. When God made hell, you won't even hear. God made hell for the devil and his angels, not for you. But if you don't get right, if you don't live right, if you don't be converted, if you don't make Jesus the Lord and Savior your life, then in hell will be your home. You're going to go to a place that you wasn't even welcome. Go to a place that God didn't even make for you. I'm telling you, the scripture says, God do not want you lost. Why would you want to go somewhere you ain't been invited? Why do you want to die in your sin and be lost if God wants you to live right and go to heaven? Oh, this is getting good to me. Luke 18:27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought it was a hard thing for God to say amen. Yes, he did. I thought I had a mess up so much. The devil done lied to me. He told me I had messed up so much. God couldn't even say amen. But I want you to know it's possible. I don't care how messed up you have. I don't care what you done done. It is not impossible for God to save you. You might even say, well, Pastor, I gave my life to the devil. I sold my soul to the devil, and I know I'm lost. So let me come by and tell you, the devil gonna lie to you, baby, because the devil can't buy something ain't his. How you gonna sell something to the devil ain't yours to sell? You can't sell your soul to the devil. That's where the devil got you tricked at. I know a lot of people, friends, different ones that talked to me. I know a lot of people who were caught up in that and thought they were lost, but they found out the truth, and now they're free and they're preaching the truth. They know now that the devil can't buy something. You can't go take somebody else's car and sell it to somebody else, or somebody else's house and sell it to somebody else. That ain't yours to sell. The Bible says all souls are mine. Now, if your soul were yours, yes, you could sell it to the devil. But your soul ain't yours. Your soul belongs to God. He said all souls are mine. So the soul that sins shall die. So I encourage you, you can get free from that bond you made with the devil. You can come free from that vow you made with the devil. You hear what I'm saying? And God ain't going to let the devil kill you when you come free, because his grace is waiting for you right now. Oh, I like that. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, this is going to be one of my last scriptures now. I want you to get this here, what it says. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. So when we get, see, when we get saved, we get baptized in water in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and representing of his death, burial, and resurrection. He said, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you don't believe, listen, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and get saved, God don't need to judge you. You already damned. When you die, close your eyes, the undertaker close your eyes, or wherever you at, when death comes to your house, you already damned. God ain't got to even judge you at the day of judgment because you done damned your own self. If you have not been born again and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, the scripture said right now what I talk to you, you are damned. You are lost. It don't mean you can't be saved, but you got to believe on Jesus to get saved. You need to do it while the blood still warm in your veins. This verse, listen, Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go therein, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads into life, and few there be that find it. Do you hear what that last part said? It said, few that be that find it. Let me explain what that means. The Bible said in the old world, in the day of the flood, there were millions of people in the world, and only 8 people got saved. Only 8 got saved. You hear what I'm saying? It may look like a lot of people get saved, but according to all the people that's been along, it's just a little spot. It's just a little dot. And the Bible said, out of Sodom and Gomorrah, look how many people in Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surrounding city, thousands and thousands of people. But how many got saved? Only 3. Oh, y'all heard the story about the bride and the bridegroom and the women waiting to be going to meet the bride, the virgin. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And when they got back, though, they had no oil. The door was shut. Don't let the door shut on you. I encourage you, make Jesus Lord and Savior your life. I gave enough of ship to save the world tonight, and I got some more. But I'm gonna try to quote them. I'm gonna bring it on in. Don't get caught up in the wide gate in the crowd. Oh, everybody wanna get on the road with the crowd. Oh yeah, everybody wanna get with the crowd. They don't wanna go get with the church. They talk about the church. Talk about them two folks going in the church. But them folks going to church going to heaven. That crowd going to hell. At the end of that road where that crowd is, it's judgment, it's destruction, and eternal damnation. Straight in the gate. Straight is straight. A few there be that find it. Just like they want only a few in the flood, and a few in Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like they want to put a few with the bride. In these last days, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away, and only a few people are getting saved. I encourage you, make Jesus Lord and Savior your life. Do it now while the blood is running warm in your veins. Amen, Apostle.
God bless you. Apostle, will you pray for those who may not know the plan of salvation so that they can have God to come in their life?
Yes, we will. Precious Father, as you just said, there are those that don't know the plan of salvation. They've been taught this, they've been taught that. Someone trying to follow religion that mama been in all her life, follow religion that daddy been in, grandma in, and somebody else told them about God. And we don't come to condemn the religion, but we come that you would open up their eyes, God, that they might see the plan of salvation through Christ Jesus, that they might know that only through your Son, only through the shedding of his blood for them, is salvation coming into their life. No other salvation, no other way, no other method, Lord. Only through the shedding of your Son, Christ Jesus, that they might accept him, Lord, that he might wash them clean from their sins. That he might give them a new nature, God. That he might give them that new name, God. A name that nobody else can give them, oh God. For the Bible says our name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. That their name might be written in the book, God. That his sin might be forgiven. That his soul might be saved. That redemption might come into their life. Do it for them, oh Lord. Move the blindness out of their eyes. Move the blindness out of the way, God. All the hindrances out of the way. Everywhere Satan is trying to keep them blind so they cannot see. Move the blindness out of the way, God, and save them, Lord. Save them in the name of the Father. Save them in the name of the Son. In the name of the Holy Ghost, do it, God. Bring clarity unto them that they might be saved and not be lost, and that the glory and the honor and the praise might be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Do you have any final remarks you'd like to say?
Yes. To God be the glory. Salvation is the most important thing that a person could do in these days, and Satan don't want no one saved. Folks don't want to come up and get saved anymore. You hardly ever hear people getting saved anymore because it doesn't seem like it's an important thing. It doesn't seem like it's something important that somebody wants to do, and Satan is telling them, listen, the greatest lie that Satan is telling them is, yes, it's okay for you to get saved, but don't do it now. You've got time to get saved. You're young. You got plenty of time. But this is why he causes so many souls to be lost, because he uses procrastination. He got them procrastinating, thinking that, yes. See, now he used to tell them not to get saved, but now he tell them, yes, go ahead and get saved, but don't do it now, hoping that they die in their sin and their soul be lost. But I encourage you not to procrastinate. Do not put off for tomorrow what you can do today. For the Bible said, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, in the day of provocation. That's what they did in the wilderness. That's what the Israelites did in the wilderness. They hardened their heart. And the Bible said some 70,000 died in one day because they committed fornication. Because after they left out of Egypt, they went out in the wilderness, and when Moses went into the mountain, they made them a god, and they worshiped their god, and they committed fornication and adulterous lasciviousness. And destroyed them in the wilderness. Let's not be hard-headed as they were. That happened for our example, that we might not fall into the same thing. So I pray that you will let God save you by the blood running warm in your veins.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. And I like that Jesus' name. I'm serious about that. Please make sure when you get to prayer, you say, in Jesus' name. When you do that, it locks everything in, and it gives God the right then to work it out for you.
Well, you know, before you hang up, I got to ask the question, how does it lock it in, or what do you mean by lock it in?
Then you can't help but answer your prayer, because you've done it the way he told you to do it. And now he has to honor that prayer. But you use his Son. His Son is like the combination. It's the access to the answer of your prayer. And when you said in Jesus' name, oh, my, it's on now. Oh, God got it, y'all. He's going to fix it. He said, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. He said, whatever you ask in my name, he said, God will listen. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, God going to do it. So when you say in the name of Jesus, it done because Jesus done said it was done. Oh.
Yes, hallelujah. Uh-oh, you stand it up. We may have a need to stop now. Hallelujah. In
yes.
Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, and feel so good to me.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen.